Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shir.
We once had a number of years ago, somebody came to Yeshiva to speak. And it's not usual. Usually people come today, we had a year Shemaim. I'm not looking to make fun. And each person has what to offer. And today we had a speaker, and Baron is a beautiful person. I'm just happy people to meet such a Yid. He's a beautiful person who loves Yidden, who's a growing person. He's an amazing... I'm better every time I spend a few minutes with Rabbi Baron. I do better for myself. So I'm thrilled the guys got to meet him. A number of years ago, a Yid come, and I promised the Yid's a good Yid. Yidden are good. And I'm going to criticize something he said, not because he was bad. This Yid came years ago. And he said to the guys, let me tell you, he was a Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael. He said, let me tell you, and he's talking about what it takes to get to where I am. Like, he was like talking as if like we're all viewing it, you're at a certain place. Nobody felt on him, he like where are you? That you're called the title rabbi, what that takes is to get hired as a job. It wasn't that he didn't mean anything bad. And by the way, he probably was at beautiful places. But none of us view it that way. I want to tell you something about my father today. I'm not here. I don't want to just speak about somebody. And I want to tell you that some of the chevra knew my father. My father was a very successful person in this world. When I mean successful, he had a beautiful family. All his kids love him. All his grandchildren love him. His community, he was a very, very successful person. So I want to tell you something about him that I don't think it's the only cause of his success, but I want to say something that I think we could tap into for our own careers, our own journeys, and our own life. I'm not just speaking about, I'm talking about somebody who worked in this world, who was very successful. By any measurable, people would see there's a person whose life was very productive and happy and successful. So I want to say something that I think was, I don't say the only cause of his success, but I think went a long way towards his success, Chaim. So, and something he spoke about. I'll talk about it very, very briefly. Is Rabbi Reis here? So before I do this, come. Before I do that, we'll finish that thought. I first want to welcome Rabbi Reis to Yeshiva. For many years, Rabbi Reis was a dorm counselor in this Yeshiva and impacted many, many, many guys. And now he's a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. He learned in Kollel a number of years in Eretz Yisrael. And now is teaching Torah in Rav Fisher's Yeshiva. Many of our guys learn by Rabbi Reis. So the first thing I want to welcome a big person, a very, very worked on and developed person. I want to welcome Rabbi Reis here. He wrote a poem a number of years ago. Rabbi Reis wrote a poem that I have read to the guys when he wasn't here and not in front of him. He wrote a poem about the job of a dorm counselor. Last night on the mother's chat, my wife is on the mother's chat. I don't get to see you often, but my wife showed me, I saw something last night. She showed me something last night. The mothers were talking about the dorm counselors. Specifically, one mother said about two dorm counselors, specifically last night, that her son said the nicest two people he ever met in his life, and he said Sammy Kleiman and Maishi Kaler. That's what he said. Another quote on the chat that my son said it's the nicest two people I've met in my life. Now, a parent was expressing that she thought the word dorm counselor is some guy who has a big ego and like presses rules and the kids hate the dorm counselors. She heard there are many there in Waterbury. She wondered how that would work. And a whole lengthy discussion on the Holy Mother's Chat, which is an amazing group of people who are mechazik each other. And there was a whole discussion about how important and how valuable and precious the Dorm Councils are. The world knows about it. Rabbi Ron Shlita, who's a brilliant person, an honest person, spoke about the yeshiva this morning and spoke about the Dorm Councils. The world's on to it. And the specific main job, Rai Reis, who was a Dorm Council in the yeshiva, this one says a kasha, and someone says the kasha. He wasn't a dorm counselor; he was the dorm counselor. So he wasn't a, but he expressed in a poem that the main job, and I think there's the main job of parents and rebbeim. He expressed the main job is to see, really catch the beauty of a person. The opposite of catching somebody, but not in a pretend way. And not blowing up something stupid. Whoa, I saw him do that. No. Like really to be yoyret, to get to that space that you see, whoa, this guy is big that I'm dealing with. That's the job of the dorm counselor, is to really get to that space. But not in a pretend way. We all have very, very big spaces. We have very, very big spaces. If I could share for a minute, Maishi, I want to tell you something that I want to share with everybody here. Something, but please hear this well. This means something to me. I want to share something. I did not plan on sharing this. I want to say that I owe a lot to Rabbi Reis, a lot. He gave a lot to the yeshiva. He gave a lot to my own children. He gave a lot to me and continues to give a lot to our guys. I owe him. So I want to gift you with this. This is a gift to you. I promise you I would not say this today if you weren't here. I'm going to gift you with a true thought. This is for Rabbi Reis. And once I'm being mezakim, he cares about others, I'll give this to you also. I have two people that are very important to me that are in Shemayim today. My Rebbe and my father are both in Shemayim. This year, they both departed and left this world. They're all different thoughts in losing people that are very dear to you, that are very dear to me, and certainly both of them were very, very machshavi, gave me a lot of confidence and liked me and appreciated me, as I appreciated them a ton. And any person thinks, they now know. That's real. That's true. You think we're all very aware of our own humanness and deficiencies and mistakes, and thoughts naturally occur, they now know. And that's a thought that I've grappled with. They know our humanness, our mistakes. People in Shemayim know the truth. And I've thought about this. This is something this year that is a sugyamish. And what hits me is they now know this. I'm trying to know what they now know. Yeah, they now know. The deepest truth about me and you is how big we are. A departed now knows. Yeah, they know. And I'm going to try to know too. Nothing we are is fake. Nothing we are. We're very attuned to our mistakes. They now know. And I'm going to try to know it. They now know how big we are. How much we have. How much we are. How much we have to tap into. They now know. It's cool. It's cool that they now know. We're so attuned to our flaws. They now know. We're bigger. We're much bigger than anything people think about us. We're much bigger. We're much bigger. We're big. We have a lot. The job, Rai Reis said, is to discover and to see it, not pretend, not to tell a guy, nice kid, shut up. I don't want to hear nice kid. I don't mean, you're a good boy. No. And I don't want to settle for stupid things. I caught him. He's really good. He's not so bad. I once saw him cleaning up. No. Even the thing, the story the dorm counselor discovers, you have conversations every once in a while, you meet somebody, you like jaw drop, you meet the mensch, you pass deep. It's the opportunity being in the dorm, you can really meet somebody and go, oh my goodness, and see somebody and discover and feel it and find it in a deep way. Sometimes it takes a little cute story to be able to look deeper. Sometimes it takes a cute story to get past our superficiality. But the goal is to discover deep things. So Rai Reis put this into words. He was a discoverer, is a discoverer of our own greatness and others. We have a lot to tap into real and authentically and in a big way. We have a lot to tap into. a lot to tap into. And of course we do, and then we tap into what we're doing. But I really want to appreciate Rai Reis, this thought that they now know, and that's the big, I'm so mechuzik, and I plan to also know what they now know. And what they now know is how big we are, and I'm gonna try to know as much as they know now. That's the dream. And the truth of our own bigness is just true. It's true. It's just the truth. Now the goal is to be in touch with that, our own fire. We have a fire. We have a wild fire to bring to the world. We're a soul put here to bring big stuff to the world. Yeah. I'm in that space in general when you're with somebody, so you see, you're distracted and you see, and then they depart, you're like, oh my goodness, what was just here was like a fire. Was here, a soul, a big time, a lot. And that's the truth about us all. Now we have to tap in, let it loose, and let it out, get in touch with it. Through the Olam HaAseya, in the world of action, we could slowly push ourselves to learn and daven, and slowly we could touch the greatness that's here. So I wanted to welcome Rai Reis. I wanted to thank you. What you're doing in Eretz Yisrael is La Yomen. Guys are going there and just drawn. Somebody's living sincerely, unforced, naturally and comfortably. I love that the dorm counselors all just met with Rabbi Reis. He has tremendous amounts to teach. We want our guys to discover Shabbos Kodesh. The soul craves Shabbos. The soul craves Torah. The soul craves Tefillah. We have to touch it and feel it and experience it. Allow others to feel and experience it. So I just really appreciate Rai Reis. Want to thank him for what he's doing in Rav Fisher and what he's done here for years. Welcome home, Rabbi Reis. We're going to sing something together. I'm going to ask Yona and the Chevra. I want to say that Yona came this year from Eretz Yisrael, and the yeshiva is very, I feel lucky, and the whole yeshiva is a better place because Yona Levine's in yeshiva. So I want to thank Yona for being in yeshiva. Where's the Shlomo here? Where's Shlomo Lurie? Do you have a guitar here? How could he come and not get a song? It can't be. Yona and Shlomo, can't be. Can't be. Yona comes in next to Shlomo, right there. No, you come Yiddy, come sing. Come.
Yiddles, Yiddy. Love skirts. Yiddinators.
You pick on that? I'm a letter listener. I'm not a letter
listener. No, they don't want it. You can have everything they get.
The halacha, chever, the halacha. An aval is not allowed to turn. I don't turn on any music for myself. The halacha is if you're part of the job, you work somewhere. Well, one day your kids, if my kids are listening to music, I do not have to leave the room. That's the halacha. The halacha, your kids, I promise, my kids are no chiv not to listen to music. They're not navelus, I am. The rule is during Shiva, your kids should not listen to music in front of you. My kids do not. Today, my kids are allowed to do music, I promise. And I don't run out if Yisrael Meir is listening to something. I am not. I'm alone in the car, no music goes on. When I'm driving with my wife, no music goes on. If my son's listening to something, I'm there. I carry on and live. That's the halacha, that's the din. Did he Share something briefly that was I wanted to share something that was very important to my Tata, and I think a very, very good recipe. I can't testify to what makes a person successful, but I think this helped a lot. If I was a guessing man, it was something that he spoke about, was important to him, and I want to share with the guys. He was very, very careful with his speech. We are people who are gifted with speech, a ruach memala. We're talking beings. Hashem gifted us. Other animals are incredible. They have many, many gifts, all the animals of the world. I love animals. They're not gifted with speech. And the human being is gifted, ruach memala, to be able to speak and communicate with each other. And we know that, we know already, the pasuk says, achayim v'amavis b'yad aloshem, that our life, our tool, our most important tool of our life is our mouth, our peh. We have a kol kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov Avinu, the ability to speak and communicate. And my father was very, very careful with the mouth, extremely careful with the mouth. He used to have very interesting thing. He didn't like spreading bad news. One of the things that he was careful is he didn't like saying bad news. He based it on a Gemara in Psachim, a Gemara Pesachim Daf Gimel, where the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Gemara Daf Dalet in Pesachim Daf Dalet, where Pesach, which means a Pesach, a talking mouth, and the Gemara describes the carefulness to speak properly. The Gemara on Daf Dalet at the top, it's a little late, and I don't want to be late to officiate a wedding, but the Gemara says that Amiram were very careful not to spread bad news. That was something my father kept his whole life. In the family, he was privy to a lot of information in the community. Now, certainly he would never tell us negative things. The Shabbos table was not spoken about tumults and anywhere. He didn't speak about political things. But he didn't like even news of people's deaths. He heard these things. He had to know these things. He officiated. He wouldn't tell us this one passed away, this tragic car accident. He felt sensitive that you don't make light of people's sorrows and not to share it so easily. People just quickly spread social media this. He did not spread negative information. Even if it was a tragedy, even unless there was a reason somebody should know. If you have a reason somebody should know, there's a funeral you have to know about. Otherwise, this was something he really kept, not to spread bad news. He didn't like that. He spoke against fear-mongering, even scaring people. He quoted the Rambam many times that it's lush and hard to scare people. When people have doomsday predictions, and if Trump wins and if Biden wins, he was very upset. He called this, he had a Rambam. Everything came from Torah. He said it's Lashon Hara to scare people. The Meraglim, the Rambam learns up the Meraglim. They scared people. He did not like fear-mongering. A person thinks he's being cute, like says, if what's his name wins, if Obama wins, we have to... He didn't like this. If Obama wins, then he'll be the president, and Hashem will run... will be good to us. He did not like fear-mongering at all. He felt it's Lashon Hara. He was very, very careful with his mouth not to say negative things, not to spread bad news, and not to spread things that causes people to be afraid, predicting Armageddon, people predicting negative things. He didn't like these things at all. He was very, very careful with his mouth. Included in being careful with his mouth was not saying bad words, words that were less than dignified. In the home, I could say even the English word for a chazer, he would read books to us, he never would say those words, wouldn't come from his mouth. He didn't say bad words. He was very, very, it mattered a lot to him. Even words that are less than dignified, those in our house, certain words were said, he was strict that those words can't be said. It was very, very important, speech and language. That those were important things, very much. He didn't like ripping people. He didn't like when people knock each other. Baruch Hashem, my siblings and I are very close. There's a normal chepering, but a certain type of putting down. I've watched Bachram who are really nice guys, and they don't chap. They say mean things to other people that hurt other people. They're not being careful with their words. Now, the guy doesn't even mean if he would chap, you just hurt somebody. I know Dvarim is an Isser Daraisa. It's an Isser Daraisa to say something mean and hurtful to another person. We have an incredible Torah, and to knock and put down, there are people who by accident, they don't even chap. They say, I've seen Rebbeim who don't chap. You just hurt, like, whatever, you just hurt a few people, you just hurt somebody. He thinks he's being funny. Now, I'm totally into humor. Be hysterical, be geschmack. Don't be hurtful. There's a pasuk in Mishle, it says yesh. There's a certain type of person, baita, their expressions, kimat gerei scherev, are like stabbing of swords. There are people who don't chap, their words like hurt people. I have seen people who are good people. They're just unaware that their words are very tough and they're leaving people hurt in their midst. There's a language in Mishle that I love. It says, L'shoin chacham mimarpe. The language of wise people is healing. I love people whose words are like very healing and validating, encouraging and validating. My father would say somebody's name, you felt like he healed you. He said your name, he was into you. He was excited by you. He had a Lashayn Chacham Imarpit, a very healing language. A man who was careful with his language, had a very healing language. How many people were encouraged and mechuzik by him when he saw you? Family members described when he said your name. It felt very good. So I want us to practice to have a Lashayn Chacham Imarpit, the healing language of a chacham, of a smart person. We're all different. I don't ask a guy to be a certain type. I don't ask a guy. I want each guy to keep their personality. It's a dangerous thing. We're not trying to create everybody like the same light. Doesn't have to be a certain sweetie. Everybody should be themselves. Just make sure our language is measured and thought out, that our language builds, not destroys. There are people who accidentally, they don't mean it, and their language is very, very destroying. It's very negative. He was not a cynical person. His language wasn't. He didn't beat people up with language, and he was careful. Again, not negative news. To be careful with our diburim. Our dibur is very, very powerful. To make sure, to really ask ourselves, what does our dibur do in our dorm room? What is our dibur doing with a group of friends? Are they uplifted from us or put down from our kids, our wife? One day you're going to spend a lifetime talking to your wife. Does your diburim pick up people? Does it uplift and encourage and charge and elevate people? Or is our diburim, people are left like this corpses in our midst, in our wherever we walk out of a room, they're like people more beaten up. To make sure we have a good language, even joking around, in the name of joking, how many people are hurt? Now again, funny is so geschmack. Don't put people down. Even joking around, you can knock somebody and put down. And your words can be incredibly encouraging and uplifting. I have a funny story I want to tell the guys. It came to mind, so I'm saying it, about a lady, about a very, very chashuv. She was a Rebbetzin, a very good person. This story, it popped in my head once before to say it. I was going on a Zoom, and it was Coach Menachem. And I decided, I don't know why, that I should say this story. My wife was a little hesitant that maybe don't say it. And I usually listen to my wife, and I asked her that it's still in my mind. She said, okay, I won't leave your mind, say it. I ended up saying the story, and a grandchild called me and said, I can't believe you said the story. It was my grandmother's yard site today. And I said it on her yard site. I last saw her 30 years before. I didn't even know she wasn't on this world anymore, let alone to know her yard site. So I don't say today's her yard site. I have no idea, but the story's popping in my mind. When I was maybe 18, I don't remember the exact time of the story much. My family used to go for Pesach, right? We went to a Pesach hotel. We used to go yearly to a Pesach hotel. Now, there was a lady there. We were with my grandparents. We had a table, wonderful table. My grandparents, all my siblings, and we had a beautiful table. One table over was this older Rebbetzin and her husband. And it was a table. And she, first of all, she was hysterical. She was very, very funny, great jokes, and she knew how to build people up. She would come to our table, this old lady, and talk to us. We were laughing our heads off and felt very respected. She had a way with words. All of us, yeah. She was good. She was legit funny. Revezi would have laughed. She was legit funny. And she had a way of just cheering up. Now, her table, Pesach Chaim, would get bigger and bigger and bigger. More people. She started, her and her husband. The hotel had mostly older people there. It was meant for older people. Very few young people were there. As Pesach would go on, more and more people would want to come to her table. She was so funny, so much fun. People would join their table and would just grow and grow. I kid you not, Maish, more and more people by the meal. The bottom line is she would run her table, and we were right next to her table. She would come to our table to talk to us, tell jokes and good lines. She's once standing, our table's here, and she's standing here, and her back is to this table right here. Now, here was a table that was a man who wasn't the most positive guy I ever met. You know, the type who keeps sending stuff back with the waiters. You call this cooked? You call this a flunkin? You know, like that type of fellow. So she's talking to our table, and the man blows up at her and embarrasses her, starts screaming, "You're such a loud mouth. You're always just talking like really a little bit, like not little bit. He really talked tough. And he said, why do you have to always stand there? We need you back to our table. You have to stand near me. Go somewhere else with your jokes and your, like, get at it. The man, like, really rips her in front of us all. Now, this story is, yet she's just a good person. And she, like, very sincere. She looks at him in full sincerity. She said, could I be honest? He just, like, berated her. So she said, could I be honest? You're a very good-looking man, and I like standing near you. Now, it sounds like a funny... She was a very sincere, she's an elderly lady. And he, like, berated her. Like, what do you have to do with here? You have to be near me. And she says, you're a good-looking man, and I just... It's just, you know, it's nice to be hang out near you. She said, like, in a very nice way, and, you know. His wife said that night... He was like looking in the mirror and asked his wife, am I really so good looking? Like he was like very taken. This couple joined the table also. But I want to say she was a good person. Now if it sounds funny, hey, you fell for that. People who are very positive, why does it work? Why does it work? You know why it worked? Because she was right. And by, I don't remember the guy, probably was good. I don't remember. People who have positivity, the reason it works is because it's real. If you're a faker, get out of here. Positivity works because it's true. We're all big people. Oh. You ask if somebody, Avraham Avinu liked everybody, so why did it feel good when he liked you? He had an ayin tov, big deal. You tell me I'm nice. You say that to everybody. Yeah, if it's a lie, so you say it. Let's say it's true what he's saying. I don't care you say it to everybody, it's true what you're saying. The secret of Avram is he was right. The secret of this lady, she was right. She actually liked that grump most people wouldn't like. She liked even grumps. She liked him and she probably is right. And by the way, I'm sure he was an amazing guy. She saw through the facade and was into him. And by the way, he joined the table too. He joined the club. She liked people. Like, why am I saying this? She didn't see the kasha. You have a kasha. What are you near me from? Near you? You're it. She looked very Aaron. It's like very Ziz. Yes, what I near you? You're a good looking guy. It makes sense. I'm near you. She was nice. She wasn't like Nishtoy, man. You're asking a kasha. What are you near me? You're a good looking guy. Is that such a kasha? I mean,
I didn't understand that.
And he was like.
But Rebbe never explained it, though.
That's what happened.
I care. Like, you know, say something to Shmai.
Well, she wasn't like. She was a healing person. Wow. Like, wow. You're asking like a bomb kasha. You want to stand here? Me? I have to stand here? If you want to say go away, I can hear. You want to say why are you standing near me? I think it makes sense to stand near you. You grab the good looking. You know, like, make a taste or not. Like. I told you the story once or 100 times. I love the story because this point that all of us are capable of learning a healing language. Now, I don't say to imitate anybody else.
Okay.
Do it your way. Do it in the way you're comfortable, but measure our words. Don't rip people. Don't hurt people. I know Astvarim. Don't say bad on people. I think it's a big secret for life. We have a lot to do with our pet. We have Torah. We have Tefillah. We have a lot of things we want to do with our pet. Let's build with our pet. Let's create with our pet.
It was in camp. Yeah, thank you so much. In camp, when he had to announce the Tefillah.
From very big person.
And he shared with me, like, he was very unsure. He had to tell us about the Tira of Zelagadis, I remember.
Wow.
And I feel so bad. I'm so mad. I felt I had to share. Like, he was very misupi. He was, like, very young, you know.
In Share, they were trying to announce my father's patira, my father's death, and the guy couldn't say it. The guy I heard from a few people there came to Shiva, and they was trying to announce that my father departed, and the man couldn't get it out. Now, that does show the mark of somebody who was cared for and loved. I also, there's a personal thing, felt that the mark of somebody who was cared for himself didn't say bad things and spread bad news. And in his bad news, they couldn't say it. I took it as that, as probably that's even the shirish that he was liked. I just say to us all to watch our mouths. Watch our mouths. Don't speak negative. Don't rip. Don't say mean things. Don't say bad. Don't say hurtful things. Don't say scary things. Say things. Walk into a dorm and say things that build. L'shoyin chacham emarpe. The language of wise people builds. Have an excellent day, Rabbi Sam.
Overrated.
The guy is in the league for 3 weeks, and the whole league already knows. I have tremendous mass. Yeah, excellent.
Love it.
Good idea.
Remember, you know what he would say? He would say what, like someone said, oh, Brooklyn, the classic. Just got 60,000 out there.
Hell, let's go.
Get my bed. Someone said, like, yeah, but I went,
I wouldn't live there either. Fuck that man. You just got 70,000 a day. Literally 70,000 a day.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.